Again, earlier I said to be a witness. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2, it says, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." And Paul referred to the Corinthians as his epistle to be read by all. You ever heard the expression, "You might be the only Bible that people get to read"? It's true. You know, I've worked in a couple of places years ago where these people had no idea what the Bible said or anything that the Bible had to do with, and they would get it from me. And I knew they were watching how I lived and how I walked and how I talked. And one place, they watched me get saved, and they saw the total change where, like, wow, what happened to you? You can get to be maybe the only Bible that people get to read. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works." These aren't good works that save you or gain merit with God. The good works should be coming from a heart that knows God, a heart that's born again, that wants to do good things for others. You know, you ever try this? If you're in a rotten mood, you feel lousy, things aren't going good, you're having a bad day, do something nice for somebody randomly. Watch what happens. It can mean so much. Especially, you want to really be a powerful witness? You know that person who treats you like garbage? Be nice to them no matter what, and stick it out as long as you can. Someday, there's a really good chance they're going to come back to you and say, "Why did you always treat me so nice? I treated you like garbage. Why did you do that? What's wrong with you?" And then you could tell them, you know, "There's nothing wrong with me. There's everything right with me in Christ, you know." Romans 10, 9 through 15. "How can they believe unless they're told?" Who told you about the Lord? Somebody did. Maybe you've been appointed for such a time as this. Don't back down. Don't say, "Well, it can't be me. I don't know how. I don't have the guts. I can't do it. Not me. That's not my gift." Don't say that. Because God is saying these things to all Christians. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your relatives. Maybe it's the neighbors. I don't know. Maybe it's your coworkers. But remember this too. Like I was trying to say when we took the break, God doesn't need you. You back down and you chicken out. You know, God puts it upon your heart, "I want you to share me with that guy over there. You see that guy? He's really bummed out. Go talk to him. Ask him if he's okay. Maybe a door will open up and you can share me with him." And you turn around and go, "No, I can't. I'm chickening out." You know what? Somebody will share with that guy. You're not going to be the reason he doesn't go to heaven. God will use somebody else. Don't put that kind of pressure on yourself. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. "If we confess him, he will confess us to his Father in heaven. Jesus said, 'Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven.'" Again, no one, praise God, is kept from heaven because of our inexperience or our lack of expertise or our lack of knowledge or our lack of failure or your fear. You know what? You might get with somebody who they even know the Bible better than you and they don't believe it. Can happen. They know scripture and they'll claim to you, "It doesn't work. I've tried it. I know scripture. Don't talk to me. You don't even know your Bible." You could just tell them, "Listen, I know what Jesus has done in my life. And it's a fact. And I've seen him do it in other people's lives. And I know that he's forgiven me. You can take and do with this what you want, but I know that he loves you so much that he wants you to ask him to save you. And whether you do or you don't, that's up to you." One of God's greatest gifts of love is free will. And you're operating your free will and, well, praise the Lord. Move on. Remember, Jesus said, "You know what? Brush the dust off your feet. Move on. You'll find somebody." Charles Spurgeon used to say, if they were all the people who were going to accept Jesus Christ, if they were all wearing T-shirts that were yellow, we would know who to go to. But we don't, because they don't. So you got to go to all the world. Now, some of the common problems: I don't know enough, I'm a new Christian. You know, that's pretty common. Well, John chapter 9, the whole chapter pretty much talks about, really, once I was blind and now I can see. You know, if you read that chapter, read it ask the Lord, how can I share my testimony, Lord? How can I share with other people something that they might hear? You know what? Your testimony might sound good to somebody. Maybe it won't sound good to some, but there's somebody out there that's going to like your testimony. And again, you're not going to lead everyone to the Lord. Not everybody. Not all the time. But tell them your testimony. Here in this chapter, the man had told them what Jesus did for him. And that's enough sometimes. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins and rose the third day. You know what here? Paul was talking about those who saw Jesus after he had risen. You could take people to the Bible and show them some facts. And one of them is that over 500 people attested to seeing Jesus Christ post-resurrection. Now think, and you can break that down into, all right, how many witnesses do you need to convict a man today? Sometimes none. If you had 500 people that would swear they've seen something, I would say it's pretty much a fact. I was talking to somebody on the phone today, and I heard of another investigative reporter doing all the work. He was a cold case guy, one of these cold case detectives, and he did all the work, took all the evidence, line upon line, all that's in the Gospels on Jesus and his resurrection and everything else. He got saved. He was one of the biggest skeptics there was. It's not Lee Strobel, it's another guy. One of the things we think in our minds is, what will my family or friends think? Well, you know what? Nobody's worth going to hell for. Nobody. You know what? What did Jesus say? You know, if you've got to leave family and relatives and you've got to leave them behind, I can fill in that void that they've left. It's more of me. Life and more abundantly. Mark 10, 28 through 30. Whoever leaves family or friends for mine and the gospel's sake will be rewarded 100-fold. Matthew 10, 34 speaks of, you know, that I've come to drive people apart. I didn't come to make peace. I came to make a separation. I know I'm the Prince of Peace. I haven't established peace yet. But what I did come to do was divide people, families, divide them. You're either with me or you're against me. Which side are you going to take? You can know me as the Prince of Peace because you can come to me now and be saved and you have peace with God and I can give you the peace of God. But I've seen this multiplied many times. I have a lot of relatives that have not come to Christ yet. And I'm still praying and I haven't given up. But anyway, Luke 9:26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Do you want that? Think of that. Do you really want Jesus to be ashamed of you? When he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels. How about one of the things people think is, I'll be persecuted, I'll be harassed, I got to go back to work? What are they going to say? What if they find out I'm a Christian? Well, great, I think that's God's intention. I think there are people there that Jesus wants them to know that he's the Savior and he wants to use you. You get rewards too for leading people to Christ. And I don't think, again, it's how many marks you have up there in heaven, it's how your heart has tried over the years and so on. So there is reward, but think of others. Think of the people in the Mideast. The people in the Mideast, there are Arabs, Muslims that are coming to Christ, and they go back to their family and they start witnessing for Christ. And they are disowned and they have funerals for them, and some of them are even killed. Some of them are even tortured. It's a Muslim father's duty to drown his daughter if she comes to Christ. No kidding. Think of the martyrs over the years. Are you willing to die for Jesus? We should be, really. Because you know what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know what? In a second, you can go from being persecuted to right in front of Jesus. And I know it's harder than it sounds, but you know what? Isn't that where we really want to be? Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly will suffer persecution. All. Not just some. So you're not like on the B list, everybody except for Karen. you know what I'm saying. All who live godly will suffer persecution. Matthew 5, 10 through 12, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Remember when we went through this? He says, blessed, or how happy. You should be happy because this is testimony that you are one of his. You're being persecuted if you're being persecuted in his namesake or for him. You can be persecuted because you're an absolute nut. You can be persecuted because you're smacking people upside the head and they think you're a wacko or you're getting angry with them. But if you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, then he says, be happy because you're doing something right. You're one of mine. You know what? Think of it this way. When I started doing this, when I started getting out and witnessing for people, I turned around and I looked at myself and I said, wow, I guess you really are saved. You know, because why else would I do this? So think of it like that too. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, you won't be tested beyond your ability. You're not going to end up on stage in the middle of a Mormon convention, okay? You're not going to end up in front of the, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses of the National Seacoast, whatever, in talking to thousands of them. You're not going to be tested beyond what your ability is. And he does give us grace in time of need. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You're not going to be put in way over your head. And if you are, he'll get you out of it. You know something? If it comes down to this and it's your only way out, you could just stand there and look at people. I've done this too. I've been overwhelmed. I've been out of my element. There's been too many of them. And I've looked at them and I said, I just love you so much that I think you should know Jesus because he loves you more than me. And that's amazing. Think about that. You know, I said that to my relatives. If he loves you more than I do, and I know he does, that's amazing. And they all looked at me like, he's either serious or he's nuts, you know, or he really loves us. You could try that too. But the last thing here, or one of them anyways, I'm afraid. This is common, so common. And you know what? He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. You shouldn't be afraid. If you're full of the Holy Spirit and you've been reading the Word and you've been praying, then you've got everything you need. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. You know what? Your witness starts to break down and they're overwhelming you and you're scared and you're tripping over your words and everything else. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I like what Candy says once. I think that they were Jehovah's Witnesses and she didn't want to get in with them and she goes, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ and that's good enough for me. You know, have a good day. And I thought, that's enough. Maybe, who knows? You know, I think it was even more than that. But she just said, you're not going to shake what I believe. This is what I believe. So don't try. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Again, the Holy Spirit empowers us. We read this, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. And if you notice this, they start right there. They start in Jerusalem, right where they are, their little circle. And then it's Judea, going from Honeoye Falls to the state of New York to the United States, where they go from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. You know, and maybe the Lord will touch you and you'll end up in Uganda or you'll end up some other place. I think it's most important that before you go to a place like that, have you shared with the people around you? Have you shared with the people in your life? Don't go looking for go to France to witness to people if you haven't even shared the gospel with the guy next door. God promises, Luke chapter 11, God promises to fill us if we diligently ask. And you guys remember this scripture. I read this last week. Jesus said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's with souls too. Lord, give me opportunities. Put open doors before me. Listen, you guys, pray this. Pray this tomorrow morning, but be ready because he's going to do it that day because he's going to test you. You really mean this? Are you really serious? I'll put all kinds of people on your path if you diligently ask. And he says here, You shall find if you knock, it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? And you know, in that culture, there were scorpions that looked like eggs when they curled up and laid there in the dirt, and rocks that looked like bread and so on. But anyway, he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit? Do you ask? That's what last week's class was. I've been praying that everybody in this church gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, because it will help you grow in your understanding of the scriptures. It will help you grow in your walk. You'll be a better witness. You'll want to share your faith, but he will give to the Holy Spirit of them that ask him. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out all fear. Look it, if you're out there and you're witnessing and all of a sudden you're filled with fear, pray. Ask the Lord to fill you up. Lord, drive this fear away. Fear is of the enemy. The enemy wants to come against me here. The enemy doesn't want anybody to come to Christ. The enemy's in my face right now, and he's scaring me. Get him out of here. Do we ask, or do we just break down and run away? Perfect love casts out all fear. Remember that an act of love toward that person is to witness. An act of love for Jesus is to witness to others and tell them about Jesus. Think about the love that's coming out of you, or that should be coming out of you, or that's surrounding you, or that God wants to give to you and give to this person. And love will overwhelm the enemy. It absolutely will. Here again, another one, I don't know how to approach people to witness. Pray for open doors. You know what I used to do in Canada? I used to go up to guys, right? And I'd start talking about hockey, because I love hockey. I couldn't believe I was going to Canada. I love that game, you know, well, right? So anyway, I'd be standing there and I'd be talking to these guys and I'd say, hey, do you guys know, listen, one of the biggest heroes in all of Canada is a guy named Paul Henderson. He scored a game 7 triple overtime goal to beat the Russians for the first time Canada ever beat the Russians. The Russians used to be the biggest powerhouse on the planet in hockey. They had all these all-stars up there, and they beat the Russians, and it was a triple overtime game, and this guy, Paul Henderson, scored the goal. Paul Henderson was a born-again Christian. I thought, what an open door. So I would do that. You guys know that he's a Christian. He is? Yeah, he's got a ministry. He's on the internet. He preaches. He teaches. He reads. Really? It's for to tell a guy who's into hockey that one of their ultimate heroes is a born-again Christian. I mean, God will find ways. You guys know. It doesn't have to be sports, but there's a lot of ways God can open doors. You know what? You ever just come alongside somebody and you're talking with them and you're praying in the back of your mind, Lord, open a door, Lord, open a door. Do you know what? You know what happens to me? They open the door. They say something. They'll go, oh my God, or they'll somehow. The guy yesterday, we met my neighbor for the very first time, comes walking over, hey, you know, and he's got this big cross on right away. I'm like, whoa, that is a nice cross. You pray, you get the idea. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. Look, this was Paul. Paul, the brain, the intellect. He wasn't a good speaker. Or of wisdom. He's claiming he didn't have wisdom. Declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know what it is he's saying here? It's a simple truth. He was just on Mars Hill speaking with these brains. All the philosophers and everything in Greece would go up to Mars Hill and they'd debate. They were the thinkers, the Greeks were scholars, and he was up there and he tried to take this idol to the unknown God and say, that's my God. So he found a door. You know what I mean? He found a door and he used this. That's my God. You guys have a shrine here for the unknown God. He's mine. Let me tell you about him. And he didn't do really well. And what he did was he left there and he went on to Corinth. And his theme was, from now on, I'm going to preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. I'm going to make it even simpler. I got into this debate up there on the hill and it didn't go so good. I'm just going to rely on God's word. I'm going to tell them that God came in the flesh and he was crucified and he was raised from the dead. And what he's saying is he's going to simplify his message. I'm not going to get in debates. Matthew 10:16, we're to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. It's okay to be wise. It's okay to maybe outthink them, but I was just telling Bob, right? Here's a good example. Bob, I hope you don't mind this. Bob got to witness to a guy today that Bob loves to read scripture. Bob doesn't watch TV. And I said, that's great. And the guy at work asked him, well, what do you do? He says, I read the Bible. Oh, you read scripture. So does my daughter. And I said, that's good. Be careful that you don't ruin your testimony by saying something like, I don't watch TV because it's stupid. Because you know how that is. People take that, oh, I'm stupid because I watch TV. You got to be careful about how you come off. Be wise as serpents, but be harmless as a dove. You know, be careful and think, but don't hurt anybody either. It's really easy to offend. The gospel's going to offend them enough. Don't add to it. You know, don't say, well, I'd never do what you do. Oh, by the way, can I share Jesus with you? You already got a check mark against you, you know. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. Don't be quarrelsome, but gentle and patient. Be quiet if you have to. You know what? Sometimes you can really get somebody on their good side just by being a good listener. People today don't want to listen. And even when people are listening, sometimes they're really not listening. And sometimes we could tell that. Sometimes you need to be quiet. Proverbs 15:1 says a soft answer turns away wrath. So sometimes when they come at you and they bark, oh, you're one of them Christians, what are you going to do, read me the Bible? No, I just wanted to tell you that I'm praying for you, and Jesus really does love you. I mean, a soft answer sometimes really calms people down. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So, and then lastly here, God's word and prayer. They're the main tools. We'll just end with this. For the word of God, again, we saw this, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Rely on this. The word will do work that you don't totally understand because it's God's word. Sometimes we'll say it in our mind and we'll look at that person and we're intimidated by the way they looked. It's like, oh, they're not listening to this. They don't hear this. They don't understand. You don't know. You don't know. We try to read people's faces and their posture. I know what that looks like. You know, the guy who's standing there like, you don't know what's going on in his head. That was my brother, I'm telling you. He got on fire for the Lord. It's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. Do you believe that? And as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know something? There are times where you're witnessing, and you don't know this. Somebody will tell this to you maybe years later. You said something to them, and they're in their mind, they're going, how did they know that? He heard about me. Somebody told him. So how did you know? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then in Isaiah 55:11, listen, take this to heart. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It's not wasted. You might think so. You might never see that person saved that you shared the word with. And maybe they won't, but that's not wasted. Don't ask me why or how it's not, because I don't know, but the Lord does. You know, I mean, I could tell you in some cases, but not all. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Maybe you shared with a guy, and he doesn't get to go to heaven, but the Lord one day says, well, you had a chance. He shared with you. And I'd hate for us to think that, well, I was the one that, you know what I'm saying. But look, it never returns to the Lord void, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And then lastly, James 5:16. Listen, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman or child availeth much. You guys, pray. Pray for the lost. I pray for lost people all day long. I pray for my parents 85 times a day, my brother who isn't saved, cousins and aunts and uncles and neighbors. There's days where I sit there for hours and everybody I can think of, everybody I played football with, everybody I ever got in a fight with, everybody, I mean, I'm not kidding. But listen, know the word of God, study it. Ask for and be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then pray. Pray for people specifically. Pray for opportunities. You know, if you go out with somebody else and they're the sharer, you pray for them while they're sharing. If your pastor is up here and he's preaching a gospel message and you know somebody's in this room who isn't saved, please pray. Seriously. You bring somebody here who isn't saved and the word's being taught, be praying. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have allowed us this tremendous privilege to share the gospel with others. And Lord, we do pray that the people around us would get saved. We lift up our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, the people we work with, the people we've known all through the years we've shared the gospel with. Lord, those we've prayed for many, many, many times. We pray for their salvation. Father, I pray that you do open up opportunities for those of us who really dearly want them. Lord, give us a burden for the lost, like a wound that won't heal. And Father, help us to step forward with all these things in mind, being wise, but being gentle. Being, Lord, loving and understanding. And Lord, knowing the word, but asking and receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit. Stepping forth, Lord, with all the confidence in the world that you're there with us and that perfect love casts out all fear. Lord, we pray that we would have our armor on too, that the enemy, we would submit to you, Lord, and we would resist the enemy and he would just flee. Lord, he wants to come in anytime we witness. So we pray, Lord, that you would protect us. You would bless us. And Lord, we just go out in the power of the Holy Spirit and just share simply what's here, and remembering the words, well, the Bible says, because it's the word of God, it's powerful, and to trust that, Lord, to trust that the word of God is so powerful, Lord, it's your word that saves. It's not us, it's not our looks, it's not our speech, it's not our intelligence, it's not arguing or debating or being right, it's none of those things, Lord. So, Father, I just pray that we would just use these opportunities that you give us, and the tools you've given us, make us evangelists. And Lord, we pray that many would come to know you, whether we see them or not. But may we be seed planters, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.